Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
We're going to go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 is becoming what I think one of my favorite Bible chapters. Does anyone know what's in Luke 15? Someone said prodigal son. Anything else in Luke 15? The parable of the lost sheep. The parable of the lost coin. The parable of the prodigal son. There are those three parables in there. And in those parables, what happens before Jesus mentions the parables, he has people just gathering him around him. People just love Jesus. They want to be around Jesus. It says that tax collectors and sinners and the Pharisees and scribes were gathering around Jesus. All these people just gathering around him. But then the Pharisees are like, why is this so-called Son of God having all these people come around him? Tax collectors and sinners. They're all just complaining. And Jesus then starts to teach them how much actually he loves the lost, how he loves the ones that are considered dirty, unclean, cheaters, sinners. And he does that by sharing the stories of the lost sheep, how a shepherd will leave the 99 and just go looking for the one until he finds it. And in that, Jesus says, when that shepherd finally finds the lost sheep, he tells everyone and everyone celebrates. And he says that's just what it's like in heaven when someone that's lost, someone that doesn't know God, comes to know God, that heavenly actually stops and celebrates. He says there's so much joy. You know, we know in heaven there's always holy, holy, holy. I reckon the angels stop for a moment and just start to celebrate when someone comes back to the Lord. He then goes on and talks about the lost coin. A woman had 10 coins. She loses one in the house. She gets the lamp. She gets the generator. She gets whatever she needs, the torch, and she looks everywhere, under everything, until she... It's just a coin. But no, it's not just a coin. She looks for it until she finds that one coin. And then she tells the whole neighborhood, I found my coin. She celebrates. And Jesus said, that's what happens in heaven. So, and then he goes on now to talk about the lost son. Just think about how much more people can relate or how much more like emotional it is when you actually lose a son than a coin. When you lose a child. So he uses that story to express God's heart for the lost. And we know what it's like to be lost. We know what it's like to be found. So Jesus just talks about that. And so today we're going to go into the lost son story. Some call it the prodigal son. Some call it the two lost sons. I preached a message in 2022 called Lost in the House. How we can be lost in the house, where we just focus on ourselves and working for the Lord. But actually be more lost than the ones that are lost because we just miss the whole thing. We miss that Jesus' heart is actually for the lost. Jesus said, I came to seek and save the lost. So that's some of the stuff you see in Luke 15. But I'm going to go on a little bit of a different tangent today. And the message today is called, It Is Yours. It's yours. It is yours. Let's go to Luke 15, chapter 15, verse 11. 11's up on the screen. Open up your Bibles. And so Jesus is continuing to tell these parables. The Pharisees are listening. The tax collectors are listening. The sinners are listening. And he says, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put on a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his oldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the doof doof. He heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you. I have slaved away for you.'" That's what it says in other versions. It does. It says, "I've been slaving away for you. And I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" Heavenly Father, we just say we love you. We thank you for your grace that you show to us every day, continually. Your grace that you want us to extend to others. Lord, we thank you for this parable that we might already know, that we've read so many times and heard. But Lord, today, would you speak to us as you are capable and more than able to do? Lord, speak to us afresh. We just thank you that you are the God who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Lord, would you speak to each individual today? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. What comes to your mind when you hear the words, "It is yours"? It's yours. Hey, it's yours. This gift, it's yours. This gift voucher, it's yours. Oh, this car, it's yours. Go for it. What? It's mine? How is it mine? Oh, when does the voucher expire? How can I use it? What did I do to deserve this thing? Here's a house. It's yours. How did it become mine? When and how? It is yours. You know, when you hear "it is yours," it just reminds me from the story that God has something for each and every one of us. It is yours. He has something for you and I. Something for you individually. There are things that God has for you. In the story, the younger son, there was something for him. in the story, the older son, there was something for him. But this younger son wanted what he believed was his. He believed it was his and he wanted it now. Isn't inheritance something you get when someone dies? Nah, he wasn't waiting for that. He wanted it now. I just can't believe it. He goes to his dad, "Dad, I want my inheritance now." What a beautiful dad. I don't know what was going on in their family, but the dad goes, "Here you go." And in those days, the older son would get 2/3 of the father's property, life holdings, everything. So there was 2 of them. So he would have got 1/3 of everything whilst his dad was alive. It says that he gathered all these things that his dad gave him. Luke 15 tells us that he gathers them and then he goes away to a far country. He didn't take all those things with him. Dude got onto Facebook Marketplace. He had a garage sale. He went to cash converters, whatever it was, and he got all the money. And then he went off his merry way. And what does he do? He lives it up. He lives in what he thinks is freedom. He would have been the most popular guy wherever that faraway place was. Away from his family, with people he doesn't even know. He squanders it all and ends up in the dumps of the dumps. He couldn't even call his dad and say, "Dad, I'm in trouble," because he'd taken everything. He's probably now estranged from his father because he's taken everything. Imagine how his brother's feeling. Anyway, he is down low, so low that now he's hanging out with pigs. He gets a job of hanging out with the pigs. The pigs would be fed from the pods from a tree, and he was desiring to eat what the pigs were eating. But people wouldn't even let him eat from that because it was for the pigs. He finally comes back to his mind and thinks, "I'm going to go back to my dad. The servants that work for my dad, they get way better than this. They get a place to sleep. They get wages. They get some good stuff." So he humbles himself. He even prepares a speech for his dad. And he goes on his way. But, you know, it wasn't just him. As I was saying before, it just wasn't the younger son who was seeing things in the wrong way. It was the older son too. The older son fell short. He didn't realize what he had in being with his dad, in being around his dad. He didn't realize that. They both fell short. For all of us, there are things that the Lord has for us. He has destiny. He has purpose. He has relationships. He has freedom for us. But when it comes to all that God has for us in Him, there's barriers that come in the way. The father had the inheritance for them, no doubt. But there's barriers that come in the way of what the Lord has for you and what the Lord has for me. One of those barriers is timing. How we see timing. It's yours, but what about timing? What about maturity? What about character? The Lord has so much for us. Like I prayed before, He's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. He owns 1,000 cattle on a hill. Is that what it says somewhere? He's got everything. But what can limit us is how we see timing, where we're at in our walk with the Lord, in our maturity, our character. You see, this younger son, he wanted it so early, but was he actually mature to handle all that Bitcoin? Was he actually mature enough to handle all the property portfolio? Was he mature enough to handle the things that he hadn't even worked for, just put in his hand? There's so many things that we can want. But the question is, are we mature enough in our walk with the Lord, in our life experience, to handle it. God's timing is so important. Did he have the character to steward what he could do with that money in that stage of his life? See, just because God has something for you doesn't mean that you need it now or you can handle it now. See, God shows us. He's so good. He'll give you prophetic visions. He'll start to show you pictures of maybe what's to come. But it doesn't always mean it's going to come now. We've just got to steward today what he's put in your hand today and say, Lord, let your will be done. Lord, show me, direct me, lead me. Just because God has something in store for you doesn't mean you need it now or can handle it now. What are some of those things that you're desiring? And they're just not coming. What are some of those things you just want now? Do you think you can actually handle it? Both these sons were immature. Both of them. They were both self-consumed. They were both just focusing on self. The younger brother in verse 12 says these words, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to who? To me. He's all about me. The older son, when he's going off at his dad, he's being a party pooper, he doesn't want to celebrate. He says in verse 29, these many years I have served you. Have you ever said that? But I've done this. I've done that. What do you mean? He was entitled. We can all feel entitled. He says, I've served you and I never disobeyed your command. So both of them, they were being immature. But at the same time, they're just being natural. We all feel these things. But we've got to think about the Lord's timing. It is yours. It is yours. Whatever the Lord has for you, he wants to give you that in his timing. But we've got to think about timing, maturity, and character. And we learn from looking at this story. The other thing is that it is yours, but God's hand is so big. We can so much focus on the thing that we think the Lord has for us and actually forget that he is so big. This son takes all the stuff and goes. But his dad's not limited by that. He comes back and his dad still provides for him. He's providing for people. Our God is so big. It's yours, but God's hand is so big. I reckon when it comes to gifts from the Lord and what the Lord gives, or even when someone gives you something, we tend to detach the gift from the giver. We detach the gift from the giver. We just focus on the gift. What's the gift? When can I have it? What can I do with it? It becomes a thing and we forget where it's come from. He wanted the inheritance. Why couldn't he use the inheritance in his neighborhood? Why couldn't he use it whilst he's at home with his dad? He wanted to get away as far as he could from his dad so he could just do whatever he wanted with whatever his dad had given him. He wanted to run. We tend to detach the gift from the giver. The father's hand is so big. It's so loving. You can have what God gives you and still have him with you. You can have what the Lord gives you and still have him with you. We need wisdom to walk in what the Lord has given us. The talents, the gifts, the wealth, the resource, the things we pray for. Lord, I want a husband. He answers your prayers. And then it's just you and your husband. Is the Lord still in the middle of the relationship? Is he still the center? Lord, I want this business. He gives you the business. And then do people even know that God's part of that business? We can easily run away from the giver. And you know, with this son, He was just doing it, like I said, because he wanted to walk in what was not on his father's heart. When God gives us things, sometimes we want to use them for our own sake away from him, because we know it doesn't line up with his heart. We drift. It's yours, but God's hand is big. There's no need to run unless you want to spend it on evil. Just be with him. Just be with the Lord and receive him, and also receive from him. Just be with him, receive him, and receive from him. What are some things you've run away from God to enjoy? What are some things in your life where you've actually distanced yourself from God so you could enjoy those things, where you don't have to think about what he thinks or, you know, be convicted? Sometimes like, Lord, do you have to tell me about that again? It's like, I know if I go back to the word today, God's going to bring it up. So I'm just going to keep it closed. Because we know, in our heart of hearts, we know. What are some things you've run away from God to enjoy? So you can enjoy freedom. So you can enjoy what we think is independence. Or so you can be less stressful. Hey, no conflict. The older brother cracks it. He literally loses it when he gets there. What's all this music? The fattened calf? He's got the robe on. I've been eyeing out that robe. How could you let him wear that? You put on those nice shoes on him. I don't know, man. I can relate. If one of my family members has done something like that, they want to come back and say sorry. I want them to pay for it. Is that just me? I want them to pay for it. You know, in Deuteronomy, it talks about a son. If a son was rebellious to their father, they would be stoned to death. This guy, he pretty much rebelled against his father. But he comes back and daddy's celebrating. So the older brother actually wanted to see this guy judged, go through judgment. When we think of these words, it is yours. What is it that is ours from our Father God? What is it that is ours from our loving Father? He gives us of himself. He gives us everything. He gave us everything in his Son, Jesus Christ. What is yours is everything that the Father has. He does not hold back. The word tells us that if he gave us everything in Jesus, how can he withhold anything else? He gives us peace. Peace is yours. Joy is yours. Gentleness is yours. Self-control is yours. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It is yours. Power. Holy Spirit power is yours. Wisdom, godliness, faith, love, hope, patience, freedom, boldness. All these things. They're there on offer from the Lord. It is yours. How is it yours, though? It's through grace. It's all through grace. It's all through you and I being adopted as sons. When the Bible talks about sons, especially in the New Testament, it's talking about sons and daughters, boys and girls, men and women, brothers and sisters. We all have been and get to be adopted into sonship as God's children. This is how it is ours. Those things. We can walk in peace, in freedom, in destiny, in purpose, because of his grace, by accepting the gift of salvation. But actually by repenting. We are to repent. That's how it is ours, by repenting, by having a change in our frame of mind and coming to a place of, I need God. I need Jesus. It's not just when you're being born again or the first time. We all need to repent. It's a daily thing. It's about walking with him. But it's not just walking. The son, the older son, was walking with his dad. He was around him. But he missed it. We've actually got to walk in him. We've got to walk with him. So we can be so close to God in some ways, but yet miss his heart. We can acknowledge that he's our God, but yet miss his heart. Think about this older son. He was in the house every day. He was working. He's probably having dinner with his dad. But yet he missed his father's heart. So how is it yours? It's by repentance and grace. It's yours because he gives and he gave that salvation, that gift through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8 that for it is by grace that you have been saved. It's not by your works, so that you cannot boast. That's how we receive Jesus. That's how we receive all the Father has for us, through grace. God gives us salvation. He saves us. It's only by grace. But to accept that gift is through repentance, having that change of mind. You know, Jesus emphasizes the impact that repentance has in heaven when someone comes to him. I talked about it earlier. The celebration that happens in heaven. We see the son, the younger son, he repents. He comes back to himself. He's at the low of the low and he realizes, man, I've tried everything else. Have you ever been in a situation where you know you've given up on God a while ago? You feel, I let God down. I let him down. Why would I go back? I let him down so much. Why would I go back? So you try to do everything else. You exhaust all the options. You go so low, but still, it's just not working out. But you go so far from God that you get to the point where you're not even thinking about him. But then at some point, somehow God just, this switch just comes on. It's what happened to the younger son. He comes back to himself, it says. That's himself, his original self. This is how God designed him. He pays attention to, oh, my dad. He prepares a speech for his dad. But he didn't even get to finish the speech because his dad was so full of what? Grace. He has a whole speech plan. Let's look at chapter 15, verse 18. It says this in verse 18. I will arise and go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before you. And then verse 21. He goes to his, sees his father. But remember, the father saw him from a long way off. The father didn't go chasing after him, but he was ready for him. He had been praying for him. When you see the story of the lost sheep, the shepherd goes and looks and looks and looks until he finds. The lady looks for the coin until she finds it. But this dad, he was doing what he was doing, yet he had a heart for his son. But when his son came, he still showed him so much compassion and runs and embraces him. So young sonny boy's got a speech planned. And so he starts talking. Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And as soon as he was about to say, treat me as one of your servants, it flips before he could even say it. Because dad goes, servants! So he's wanted to be treated like a servant. But the dad goes, servants, go get him this, go get him that. He didn't get to finish his speech. He didn't get to finish his speech. He received full restoration in that moment. He confessed his faith. He said he was sorry. And in that moment, he was restored into being a son. That's how God works. We repent and he forgives you in that moment. It's all by repentance and grace. But you know, this older son, walking with his dad, he still missed his heart. He was in the house, still missed his heart. We can be in the house. We can love God. We can do all the praying. But if we're not intimate with our Father, if we don't sit with Him, if we don't read His heart, get into the Word, converse with Him day to day, we'll miss His heart. You know, that son, older son, he looked like he had it all sorted. He was in the good books with Dad. But he just comes complaining about the older brother, complaining, how can you give him this? How can you give him that? He says he spent it all on prostitutes. How did he even know he'd spent it on prostitutes? I'm like, how did the older brother know that? I don't know. Maybe that's what he used to do back in the days. But he had so much dirt on him. He's just thinking he's doing this, he's doing that. How come he gets that? Do we ever look at people and go, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing this. How come they're doing that? Lord, how come you're blessing them? God's like, they're my children. I'll do what I want to do with them. I know where they fall short. I know where you fall short. Do you want me to start telling you what you do, son? But God sets him straight away. No, the Father sets him straight. He's complaining about all this stuff and says, I've done this, I've done that. But what gets me about this, and this is where this whole thought for me came from, is verse 32. Or verse 31, he says, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. He was focusing on the wrong things. God saying to us, all that I am is yours. What are you looking for? What do you feel is missing in your life? Where are you seeing lack? He's actually paid for it all through Jesus Christ. He's already given it. And we just need to engage with it in looking into His face, looking into His Word, and making it all about Him. So do you know the Father's heart? Do you know your identity as a son? Because we can come to church, we can serve on all the teams, we can catch up for coffees, we can help out, you know, in our neighborhoods, we can do whatever it is, but if we don't seek His heart and come to know His heart and actually realize one, His heart's for the one, for the lost, but that His heart is for you, to have Him, to spend time with Him, to know Him, to be a son, to be a daughter, and base everything on that. You're a son and you're a daughter. All you need is found in Him. There's nowhere else. It's not in your husband. I'm sorry. It's not in your wife. It's not in your children. All you need is found in Him. And until we get that, we're going to be looking everywhere else. But He's got to be more than enough for you. If God's not more than enough for you, nothing else will ever be enough. It's got to start with Him. Then you realize, wow, He's more than enough. But then He gives us relationships. He gives us wealth. He helps us. He gives us all these things. But it starts with Him. It flows out of Him. In that you have been adopted as a son and a daughter. And your strength to help others comes from that. Your burden for the lost comes from that. You can't have a burden for the lost if you don't have a burden for the Father. It starts with the Father. See, this older son just didn't see how the father loved his lost son. He just couldn't see it. He's been with his dad this whole time whilst his other son's gone. But you think on that day he sees young brother's back. Be like, Dad, I can't believe it. He's back. And they're crying together. How good is this? He's back. And they're hugging. No, that's not happening. He's thinking about himself. He's not celebrating because he's missed the father's heart. He's just been working tirelessly. What is he working for? He's already got his 2/3. He's going to get it. He doesn't even need to work. But he's working so hard to prove himself. Do you ever ask yourself, what am I trying to prove? What am I trying to prove? When you get frustrated at people, at yourself, at the church, at your work, whatever it is, what am I trying to prove? Like, this guy didn't need to prove anything. He had everything. But you know what? He's walking with his father. He's in a relationship with his dad. But he didn't even call him that. He didn't call him father. Let's go to verse 12 in chapter 12. So in chapter 15, sorry. In verse 12, the younger son actually, when he asked dad for the inheritance, he says father. In verse 18, when he comes to his dad to apologize, he calls him father again. In verse 21, he calls him father. When he was thinking about him when he was with the pigs, he talks about my father. What about the older son? When he's talking to his dad, he does not refer to him as father at all. He just talks about him just as a master. He just says in verse 29, look, these many years I have served you and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, he's like so distant, who has devoured your property, there's nowhere there where he calls him father. He was missing that. Do we know God as our father? Or do we see God as a taskmaster? He's a loving father. Do you see him as a loving father or a taskmaster? The father that gave you everything by giving you Jesus. He didn't hold back. He gave his one and only son. What is the father's heart? The father's heart is that everything that is his would be yours. That sounds outrageous, doesn't it? But remember, there's timing, there's maturity, there's character, there's his will. But he's not a God that wants to withhold. He's given us everything in Jesus. What more could you have? But Jesus, is that enough? Just Jesus? Jesus is everything. Everything. If you go after everything else other than Jesus, it all amounts to nothing. But if you go after Jesus, the Son of God, God's gift to us, you will actually have everything. And God, everything is different for everyone in terms of what God's everything for everyone is. Verse 31 again. You are always with me. All that I have is yours, the father says to his son. But you know, everything that is God's, when we say it's yours, do you know what else that includes? What else is yours? It's his burden for the lost. Sometimes like, Lord, give me this, give me that. Lord, give me a burden for the lost. It's yours. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. We are to have a burden for the lost.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.